to what extent, I mean, you had been here for so long, so you had to have a pretty good idea of what you were in for when you became the athletic director. To what extent has what your perception was at that time the case now, would you say?
Looking back, the 5 months that I was the interim was very important to the smooth transition when I became athletic director, because I essentially did the job for 5 months. Everybody forgot who the interim was then. We had to make some hard decisions back then, and I told the president and other folks that, you know, we needed to make some decisions, and the interim's going to make the decisions. We're going to blame him, but that person's gone then in a few months. And that was really good, because a lot of folks jump into the AD seat, and there is a transition. It's way different than telling somebody how to do their job than actually sitting there and do their job. Right. Now, everybody tells us, we know that, how to do our jobs. But when you actually get to sit in the seat, it's a completely different animal. And I look back, and that five-month interim thing was really, really important for me.
Yeah. Not that you don't appreciate all those people who advise you on how to do your job.
Constructive criticism is good for all of us.
Well, I think most would say your job has been pretty well done here in the last 4 years. There have been some good moments here for ISU athletics in recent years.
It's true. The athletic director gets way too much credit when things are going well, and it gets way too much of the blame when things aren't going well. But I'm very fortunate. We have a really good team of administrators and a really good team of head coaches, and we haven't had a lot of change in the coaching area. And that continuity is so important to success on all the fronts, academics, community service, obviously competitively. So, again, I'm fortunate because I can ride the coattails of some really talented people.
And it sure sounds as though there is reason to be optimistic about what's ahead here this fall.
There's no question. I'm really happy with the quality of the head coaches and how they're running their programs. The culture of their programs fits Illinois State very, very well. Who we are as an institution, who we are in terms of what the community expects out of our student athletes. And I see big things coming. I was talking to Jeff Bovey off the air. I'm tired of not winning the All-Sport Trophy. You know, we've won two in the last 12 years or something like that. Wichita State has dominated that thing, and we used to dominate it back in the day, and we need to get back there, because that means overall we're the most successful program across all of our sports. And we don't give lip service just to two or three or four of our sports. We expect all of them to compete for championships, and that's the way it should be across the board. We expect everybody to try and win a conference championship, and if you do that, then you have a chance for your student athletes to go to a postseason. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. You know, we're in the Olympics right now, and that's the postseason for a lot of those folks. NCAA tournament is postseason for our student athletes, and that's where you want to get them, is to experience postseason sometime during their career, because that's the pinnacle for them at the collegiate level.
Well, let's talk a little bit specifically about what's ahead here. It really all starts Friday at Adelaide Street Field. Your women's soccer team has a huge challenge at the very start of the season, but a challenge they were up to in Madison, Wisconsin a year ago.
Absolutely, and I'm excited that we have Wisconsin on campus. It's rare for us to have a Power 5 come to Illinois State. It's unfortunate that they look at it that way, but you do have more success on the women's side of getting the Power 5s to come here. But our soccer program is well known nationally and regionally, and they deserve to have that level of competition come here and compete, and we expect them to go out there and compete for a win.
Are you sensing that's more the case? Maybe you're starting to see some Power 5s loosen up, knowing that if they were to lose to that school like Wisconsin did Illinois State last year, it's not the end-all, be-all.
No.
You can recover and have a successful year from it.
Well, you know, my experience on the baseball committee taught me that it's really all about best teams if you're going to select teams for the NCAA championship. So play the better teams in your region if you can in the non-conference season, because non-conference scheduling is important. And if the big guys don't play a good schedule, then they don't deserve to get in just because they're bigger. And hopefully other selections are like that, so selection committees. It's where it's, you earn it every year based on how good your team is and who you played and how well you played against those opponents. So playing a tough schedule is important, and I'm excited that that Eric went out and tried to get the very best schedule he could. And, you know, you look at men's basketball last year, we probably overscheduled just a tad. Boy, did our fans have a lot of fun thinking about it. And we were competitive in some of those games. But, you know, when you schedule like that, too, you also need to try and win a couple of those things, too, because that's ultimately what it comes down to. If you're in the competition arena, you got to compete to win a championship and compete to win an individual game that helps your resume at the end of the year for any kind of selection.
Well, that makes me wonder about football as well. We start to see the with North Dakota State playing Charleston Southern mm-hmm. and some of the other Valley mm-hmm. schools starting to parlay, I think, with the Big Sky.
Right.
How is Illinois State actively involved in that? Or
we're having some of those conversations. It's some of it's being predicated by the fact that the Big Ten's not going to play any FCS games, because that makes sense for us. If we're going to play FBS school, the Big Ten makes sense, makes sense, because you can maximize the guarantee that you're going to receive by having less travel expenses, and that's financially that makes a lot of sense. But we're going to have to look at some of those kinds of home-and-homes, just like Dan's doing in men's basketball, play those significant games that can help your resume come selection time at the end of the year, because we want to be in that conversation every year with the selection committee. So you're going to need to have the resume. But think about football scheduling. Is it so far, if done well, and if you're capable of getting people to say, yes, we're going to play, which is hard to do, you do it so far out, you really don't know what you're going to get. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when I helped schedule the Iowa football game, we had no idea Iowa was going to be what Iowa was last year. And Northwestern is going to be ranked pretty highly this year in the Big Ten West and nationally. So you don't know that. Same thing with your non-conference. You don't know what, obviously we're going to play Eastern Illinois every year. You don't know what they're going to be like. You didn't know that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be there for a couple years and be really, really good. So when we do schedule, and we're looking at some of those home-and-homes, when we do schedule those games, it's a little bit of a crapshoot if you're a couple of years out, because they don't know what you're going to be like, and you don't know what they're really going to be like, too. But that's the one of the dynamics with scheduling. You can't control that piece.
Larry, I'd like to ask you something about, you know, everybody kind of follows the athletic part of it in the paper and everywhere else, but what about your academics? I think that they've really taken off at this university in the athletic department, and I think the people need to know a little bit about what you have accomplished athletically as well as academically.
Well, I'm not going to take any credit for the academic side, because our study center staff under Dr. Paul Downey has done a tremendous job, and it really started several years ago when the campus started elevating the acceptance of a higher-profile student, to elevate the whole campus as a whole. And look what it's done for Illinois State. Enrollment's up in a very difficult enrollment management time, but the quality of that student went up. Well, guess what? Our kids have to compete. Our student athletes have to compete in the classroom. And they've taken that challenge on and done very, very well. That 3.23 GPA average for all of our student athletes last spring is phenomenal. We beat the old record by 9/100ths. That's a huge leap in GPA, because we had been in the 3.15 3.16 range for several semesters in a row. And to make that big of a jump, you know, that's like a world record in the Olympics. That is a huge jump. So very proud of the student athletes for competing there. You know, we have 89 4.0s last semester. Most of our teams in the last 3 or 4 years have broken a semester GPA record. I think all of them probably have done that at one time or another. We're really close. We had 14 of the teams have a 3.0 GPA. That means there's five that were close.
Yeah.
It'd be neat to get all 19 to have a 3.0 GPA. Then I wonder what that new record would be. So our kids are doing what they're here for primarily.
Right.
That's to go to school, try and graduate on time with a good GPA. And, oh, by the way, you're going to play a Division I sport while you're here. So, but that I'm glad you asked that question, because that's very important to us. To say that our kids are competing in the classroom.
And your coaches are doing a good job of recruiting the kids that can compete.
Well, they've learned, too, that the more academically talented student-athletes you have, you've got a chance to compete in the classroom, but those kids also are very coachable, and they also can compete
at
the same time, because it's harder to go to school here. This is a real school. We don't have an athletic major here.
They're not keeping you up late at night wondering what they're getting into.
No, there's still 400 some of them, and they are 18 to 22 year olds,
yeah.
And I think every parent out there can understand what I'm saying. There is a little bit in the back of my mind. But I will tell you, my cell phone does not go upstairs with me. It stays downstairs. So in that respect, I do.